morning. You're depending on the Lord. I know y'all ain't tired of me saying that, but it's still true. And it's going to remain true. So I'm going to keep saying it. Depending on him, certainly desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. As always, we desire that the thoughts that the Lord has given, that he would be presented in the way that he would have him to be presented, and that it would fulfill the purpose that he would have it to fulfill. So I desire your prayers. I'll write the thought on the board. Thought this morning is accept the Lord, build a house. I'd like to begin with the familiar text of Scripture in Psalms 127 chapter, reading verses 1 through 3. Psalm 127 verses 1 through 3. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I'd like to consider each of these verses this morning, beginning with the fact that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, waketh but in vain. Like to give some clarifications, maybe on some definitions, so that we know, probably we already know what these words mean. But just when we talk about laboring, we're talking about something that is not only physical, but you know that labor is also it's mental as well. And then there's another aspect of labor, maybe that sometimes we don't think about. It's also, it can be emotional as well. You know, all of those things are grouped together when in terms of us putting forth an effort to do something. So it's that physical, mental, and emotional exertion and effort that we put forth. You know, we recognize in some areas of life, maybe some efforts that we put forth, there's a little bit more strenuous than others. So let's keep that in mind as we consider this. And then to recognize, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. So we think about that. What does it mean to do something in vain? Having or showing undue or excessive pride in one's appearance or achievements. So in other words, it's about puffing ourselves up for things that we do. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this verse. So we recognize this in this verse, these verses here in Psalms is David giving some instruction to his son Solomon. You know, David was king and God was with him. God has blessed him. He went through some difficult situations and he went through times where God blessed him. And overall, he was a man after God's own heart. Right. So he had a relationship. He had a prospering relationship with God. And he said here, son, I want to pass along a little instruction to you. I want you to keep in mind some things that as I've gone through life, I found to be successful for me. So I want to share something with you here. So he let him know. So the essence of this, we recognize we have to look a little bit beyond what the verse is saying. Except the Lord build the house. There's a literal meaning to it, but we're looking at it in a more of a natural and a spiritual sense, right? What David is saying to his son Solomon, he's saying, look unto God. He's letting him know in all of your efforts, in all your endeavors, in everything that you do, look to God. You know, recognizing him as the one that you depend on. Don't rely on your own strength. Look to him to help you. Look to him to bless you. To depend on him for your providence. And recognize that without him, what do you have? You have nothing. Recognize that the whatever, all the wisdom and the care, that anything that God has blessed you with, maybe things you can look and he was a man now, so he could no doubt recognize I've got some talents in some areas. Maybe there's some things that I've had some success in that I can do. I feel like I can do well. His father is instructing him. He's saying, just remember, all that come from God. And if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have any of it. Except the Lord build the house. See, that's what he wanted him to know. And he said, it's necessary for you, the writer says, for him to keep in favor with God. Keep in other words, make sure everything between you and God is always well. Let the Lord work with you. Respond to him as he deals with you. And he let him know, he said, lean on him. You got to depend on him. Depend on him. Don't look to your own self. Look to him and depend on him for everything. You know, there's not any area that you can't lean on him for. So that's what his instruction to give to him was, to just allow God to work with you. Except the Lord build the house. Right? He said, and as God gives you responsibility, set an example. That's what his instruction was to his son. Let the Lord use you in whatever way, and it just acknowledge God. Recognize that all blessings and all good things come from him, that he is the reason for them, and without him, none of it would be possible. Just keep that Solomon in the forefront of your mind. Just recognize and everything that God allows to prosper in your life, everything that he blesses, recognize that it comes from him. And that without him, none of it would be possible. You know, it says here, except the Lord build the house. You know, don't lift yourself up. That's what his encouragement to him was. As you are successful and as you prosper, don't take the credit for yourself. Don't say, look at all these things that I have done. Did you see what I did? He said, don't take that attitude. Don't take that mindset. Why? In vain. What purpose is that? We read the definition there. Vain is about basically, it's pride. Yes. It's just being prideful. I mean, and when you think about when you're doing something like that, what are you really doing is really you're trying to elevate yourself. Yes. You're saying, look at everything that I have done. You know, what are we, when we do things like that, and you know, I'm sure I've been guilty of it before. Maybe we'll be guilty of it again, but may the Lord help me when I recognize it to say, no, that belongs to God. You know, sometimes we're human. Sometimes we look for praise from men. We do. But, you know, we just have to be careful, don't we? To recognize, you know what, but God. Except the Lord build the house. See, then none of it. Lord, help me that I don't. I don't want to take something that belongs to you and try to credit it for myself. You know, and we recognize that in this life, God, it's only because of God and His love and His mercy and His blessings that He bestows upon each and every one of us that we have what we have. And his encouragement, just allow God to use you and work with you in everything that you do. You think about, in efforts that you may involve yourself in. To what purpose is it? I know we have to live in this world. We have to, and there's certain things that we have to do. But you know what? What we recognize is really the things that are long-lasting is the spiritual things. As parents, passing things down to our children, living the life before them, that's something that reaches beyond generations. They can just continue on. There's other things that people pass on. That they can, sometimes people have generational wealth that's passed down. But you know what? The thing about that, it can be gone just like that. Just somebody can make a bad decision and all of a sudden that would be all gone. What it helps us to think when we think about this thought, except the Lord build the house, really the only things that's going to last is the things that is done for God. There's a little stanza. There's a poem by C.T. Studd. And it's called Only One Life. And there's eight stanzas in this poem. But in the poem, all of the stanzas end with the same phrase. And I'm not going to read the whole poem this morning. But what I'm going to read this morning is just one of them. But again, it says, give me, Father, a purpose deep. In joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true. Whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So as I'm thinking about, except the Lord build the house, all the things that we put forth effort into, and I know we have to live. So I'm not saying not to do those things, but I'm just saying help us, Lord, to prioritize the things that we do. Because it's only the things for God and our soul that is going to last for eternity. These other things are just going to burn up one day. Think about you. I've heard this expression. Maybe you've heard it before. You heard people say that this world is the dressing room. You heard that expression before, right? So when we think about that in a natural sense, right? Those that perform in plays or whatever they are, they have a dressing room, right? And that dressing room is where they get ready before they go out on stage, right? So now when we think of that in a spiritual sense, this life that we live in now is the dressing room for eternity. So what we're doing in this life is we're preparing, right, for the life to come. So that's why it's so important to recognize the words of that poem. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Whereas my efforts and all that I'm doing, I don't want the things that I spend all my energy on to be things that are going to be in vain, things that are just going to pass away one day. We have to live, but my greatest focus should be on, not on the things that are going to burn up. It's supposed to be, it should be on eternal things, yeah. Right? Set my affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Or one place it talks about not things thieves can break in and steal, where moth and corruption, although not any of that. Help me to set them on things above. Sometimes if we're not careful, what you've seen, and you've seen maybe, maybe you know people that have done things like this, that they have goals and accomplishments that they want to achieve. And they will put all their energies and efforts into those things to the degree that it is a detriment to their relationships, their family, maybe their husband or their wife, their children, and you, that families can be broken up because of, I had this goal that I wanted to achieve. And, you know, things like that can have a lasting effect. So I reckon, you know, and I'm not saying don't have goals. Don't have things that you should have those things. Just keep them in the right perspective. Yeah. Make sure that God remains number one. You know, maybe you ask. So one other question, one other way of thinking about this is, what are you building on? You know, we sing a song and one of the verses says, are you building on a strong foundation? Or are you building on the sinking sand? It says, are you built with an anchor that's going to keep the soul? Living in his love and truth unshaken, grounded firm and deep, though billows roll. So that instruction that David was giving to his son Solomon, he was saying, except the Lord build the house. Get rooted and grounded and your focus are centered around Almighty God. And recognize that if you do that and you build on that, he'll take care of everything else. One writer mentioned it like this. It said, rely on him in the beginning, right? And in the middle, and at the end. See? Keep him in. And what that means for us is in everything that we do. Everything that we do, I recognize my reliance on God. Whatever I find myself involved in, Lord, be with me. Help me, Lord. I recognize, Lord, that if it wasn't for you, I couldn't do it anyway. So, Lord, and while we're in the middle of it, Lord, continue to bless. Continue to help. When we're getting close to the end, thank you, Lord, for blessing me thus far. Help me to just be able to finish whatever needs to take place. You know, I find myself more and more, even just in daily life, praying for stuff in my job. Lord, help me. You know, the things that I desire to accomplish today, the things that I want to get done. Lord, would you just work it all out in the name of Jesus? You know, and I believe God honors that. And he's proven himself time and time and time again. I'd like us to read some familiar verses that we've heard before, but they go along with this thought about except the Lord build the house. Let's go to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and the 5th and the 6th verse. You could probably quote this one by heart, couldn't you?
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart.
Trust in who? Trust in yourself? What? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, we've read this verse time and time again, but I want to highlight a few things here this morning. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? With all of it. What's all mean? Does that mean that you can hold a little bit back? No, that's all of it, right? So his instruction to us, you know, these are promises. We've talked about promises before, but we'll talk about them again. But the point is, what God does in the promises that he gives us, he gives us a part, right? And then he says, when we do this, this is what he'll do. So he said, trust in the Lord with all our heart. So in everything that I have, help me, Lord, to just depend on you for it all. if I put all my trust in everything that I do in you, and not only that, but I have to lean not to mine own understanding. Sometimes that can get in the way, can't us? I know what I'm doing, but I'm pretty smart. I can figure it out. I can go on YouTube and watch a video, and lean not to your own understanding. Even when you think you got it off, I've done this before. You know, I believe we heard a mess. During the meeting, I believe it was, a brother shared a story about, I've done it how many times? It went over and over again until he acknowledged, lean not on your own understanding. When he said, Lord, help me out, God came to his rescue and able to bless. So isn't it, maybe some of you all like doing things multiple times. The more you do something, I guess the better you get at it. But, wouldn't it seem like it would be much better to say, Lord, help me out here. Yeah. Lean not on my own understanding to say, Lord, I think I know how to do this, but, Lord, I want you to direct me and lead me and help me out here. And he said in that sixth verse, in some of your ways, there's that word all again. That's something we know about God, right? God wants all. It's just when you're dealing with God, all is involved. It's not a little piece. It's not a part. He wants all. So he said, in all your ways, in everything that you do, just say, Lord, I need you. You know, this is similar. It's very similar to the instruction, right? That David gave to his son Solomon, except the Lord build the house. He said, this is the writer is saying, in all your ways, just say, Lord, help me out. Yeah. Lord, would you guide me? Would you lead me? Would you direct me? Yeah. And if I acknowledge, Lord, you in all my ways, then I know that you will direct my paths. I begin and end every work, purpose, with God, because all of the things that take place in his life is all because of him anyways. When I recognize even in my own, even in the abilities that God gives us, God can just put his finger on that too. How many times have this happened? Maybe I'm the only one that this happens to. It's something that you know. Maybe it's somebody's name that you know, and all of a sudden you can't think of it. Or you know how to do something, and your mind goes blank just like that. It happens, doesn't it? It may be sometimes more frequent than when we want it to. But you know what? That helps us to recognize, Lord, I need you. Because just like that, even the things that these are things that we know. We could be looking at somebody. It happened to me standing right up there. I know your name, but I can't just. Lord, I need you. Yes. I'm dependent on you, Lord. Even in the things that I think I know, I still need you. Except the Lord build the house. Let's go to another verse. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. And the 5th verse. These things all relate together in conjunction with this thought this morning. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves.
To think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. So all things are only because of him. Even when I try to think of myself as being something, I recognize the only thing I really am is because of what God allows. Right? One way to think about it is like this. We're only just earthen vessels. That's all we are. And you know what vessels are? Vessels are only good if somebody's using them. Right? You know, we have, you go in your house in the kitchen and you can open up the cupboard and there's vessels, right? Just sitting there. How much good are they? See, I mean, you got containers and cups and pots and pans, and they're real good sitting in there, aren't they? Not until you use them, right? What good are they if they just sit in there? Can they use themselves? Have you ever had any cup? Maybe you had a cup fall out the cabinet and fall on the floor. But, you know, but it's not going to go come out of the cabinet and fill water and set it. It's just a little, it's a container, right? And that's, you know what? Verses like this helps us to realize that's what we are. That's all we are. We're just containers that God can use. We're just instruments, one writer says, in the hands of God. There's musical saints in the crowd this morning. Have you ever seen an instrument play itself? It's not possible, right? It takes somebody to finesse it, right? We're the instruments. And God uses us as he sees fits. Except the Lord build the house. We know these things. This is just a good reminder for us. A good reminder for me as well. Help me, Lord. Except the Lord build the house. Where does my help come from? Who's my source of strength? There's some verses that talks about that as well. Where does it come from? I'm just, you know, some people just say, I'm just naturally strong. Who gave it to you? God can put his finger on that too. We have to, where does it come from? We lose our connection to the source. Nothing. John 15, verses 4 and 5. These are familiar scriptures that we know. 15th chapter of John, the 4th and the 5th verse.
Abide in me.
And I in you.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
Except it abide in the vine.
No more can ye.
Except ye abide in me.
I am the vine.
I'm the vine.
Ye are the branches.
Ye are the branches.
He that abideth in me.
And I in him.
The same bringeth forth much fruit.
For without me.
Ye can do no thing.
Nothing. How many times have you ever seen you've seen trees that bear fruit, right? They're always connected, right? You've never seen something isolated by itself that it has no a vine or trunk or something that's in the ground to where it gets all the nutrients and things. All by itself, it's always connected to something, right? It's not just one thing that comes up and there's a big old bushels of fruit all around it. It doesn't work like that. This is what God makes things so simple for us, doesn't he? He gives us natural examples that we can see with our physical eyes, that we can look at it and recognize how it works. And we can relate that to ourselves. So we take things that are all around us in nature that he makes it simple for us to understand. So he says, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. One branch by itself, all alone, cannot bear fruit. Period. It's something that's not possible. So then he reinforces to us the fact that without him, we can do nothing. The very one that gives us life and breath,
The one that as our day, so shall our strength be. The one that when, as soon as we open our eyes and we expect to be able to raise our head and lift ourselves up and turn to the side and put our feet down and start walking, it's only because of him. It's because the strength that he allows in each and every one of us. So help me, Lord, to just be mindful of that. Except the Lord build the house. To say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the daily strength that you give. To be able to have the faculties of my mind. Just to be able to think and make a decision and a choice to keep that. Lord, I know that. Here's one way that one writer looked at it. God can do without man. But man can't do without God. That's some Adam Clark. He said, think about that. Man cannot do without God. What can we do without him? Nothing. But he don't need us. He created the world without us, didn't he? And that seems to be doing just fine, despite all that we do as mankind to try to destroy it, right? But it's still doing all right. He can do without us, but we can't do without him. Except the Lord build the house. See? We must not lose sight of the fact that God has a divine will and purpose for our lives. And help us, Lord, help me to maintain that focus on a daily basis. You know, we read examples in the Bible about different ones that for periods of time in their life, they lost focus. But God, in his love and his mercy, he extended it. You know, one thing we think about is God had a specific purpose for Samson, didn't he? And he was doing that. But somewhere along the way, he forgot, except the Lord build the house. He forgot about where all this was coming from, and he got distracted. We're talking about that this morning in Sunday school, about things that distract us, to hinder us, so that those distractions are meant, the enemy uses those so he can come in and take advantage. And that's exactly what happened. So, Lord, we can. Why do we have all those examples in the Bible? That's just one, but there's many. Why are they in there? Just to make fun reading? We're supposed to learn from them, right? We can look at that and say, "Oh, okay." We're talking about this morning in Sunday school about being sober and being vigilant. My soul, be on thy guard. I gotta be aware. And that's why they're in there. I'm a human being. They was a human being. That happened to them. It could happen to me too. Lord, help me. Help me to always remember, except the Lord build the house. You know, the wonderful thing is, in a lot of, there's different examples that we have, right? In some of them, the correct response was made. But then there's other examples, right? Where they didn't make the right choice. And you saw the end of them. Think about Saul, King Saul. God had appointed him to be king. But somewhere along the way, he forgot, except the Lord build the house. And God was merciful to him too, wasn't he? But he didn't respond in the proper way. And he was lost out in the end. So we can learn from these examples, Lord. But for the mercy and the grace of God, that's me. That's you in those exact same similar situations. You know, as we go through this life, there are so many things around us that we can get all wrapped up in.
we can get distracted with. And remember, we have to remember the dressing room. You know, Brother Henry mentioned something this morning in Sunday school about remember the end, right? Was that the end, right? What's the end of it? I got to remember my time here on this earth is temporary. We're just sojourners here. You know what sojourners are? That means is you just here for a short while. We're passing through. That's all we are. So we just have to keep that. It's so easy to get so caught up in things. I'm just passing through. If I remember, Lord, except you built the house. Sometimes some of the things we get so concerned about, guilty. Help me, Lord. You're going to take care of it. If I keep you in the right place, you'll take care of everything else. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, the more that we know, the more we're responsible for. Let's go back to the verse. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and eat the sorrows and eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. I'm going to talk about that second verse, but one thing more on that first verse. Again, the more we know, the more we're responsible for. So we talked about that except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. So in other words, if we want to remove God out of the equation, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And there's examples that we find in the Word of God that can let us know what's going to happen. But this is what happens. See, I'm going to give us a natural example of what happens when we take God and we remove him. This is what you'll find life will be like. It's like you driving in one of those roundabouts and your blinker is stuck and you just keep going in circles. That's you want to take God out? That's what it's like. You're just going in circles. Can't get out. Just because it's stuck don't mean that you can't get out, right? I mean, people do that all the time, right? Have the blinker to turn right and turn left. It happens all the time. But that's what happens. There's a verse in Haggai that lets us know. This is what happens. If you don't want the Lord to build a house, if you want to say, I can take care of it all myself, God, I don't need you. This is what it's going to be like in Haggai, the first chapter and the sixth verse.
You have sown much.
You sown much.
And bring in little.
But you only bring in a little bit.
You eat.
You eat.
But
you have not enough.
You drink.
You drink.
But you are not filled with drink.
But you're not filled.
He clothed
you,
but, there is none warm.
But you're not even warm. You earn wages, but you put it what?
Into a bag with holes.
You put it in a bag with holes. If you want to say, Lord, I'll just set you aside. I don't need you. I can do without you. You're so much. But you bring in little. You drink, but you're not filled. You know, the times when you're layered up, but you're still cold. You're walking around, you're striving for this and that, and you're filling your money, your pockets with all kind of money, and you reach in there and there's nothing in there. Because the bottom of your pocket's got holes in it, and everything you put in just falls out. See, I got to remember, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. That second verse, this one for me, saints, I'm preaching to myself this morning. The writer says it's vain to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bed of sorrows, so that he giveth his beloved sleep. Lord, help me. The Amplified says it's vain for you to rise up early, to take late less, to take less, to take rest late, eat the bread of anxious toil, for he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. Lord, I've been missing out on some blessings. Help me, Lord. You give your beloved blessings in their sleep. Help me, Lord, to get a little bit more of it. I don't want to miss out on those blessings. One writer said this. You try to do both. Help me, Lord. Rise up early, stay up late. You rob your sleep to pay their cares. Except the Lord build the house. Lord, help me to take what you've given us, the instruction that you've given, and to put it into practice. I don't want to miss out on blessings that God has for me because I'm not getting the rest that I need to get. I know life is busy. There's all kind of things you got to get done. But you know what? If I don't wake up tomorrow, but help me, Lord. Lord, guide and direct me day by day. You know what? When we ask God to guide us, when we ask God to direct us, The things that we say, the things that we think about, that those things turn into actions. There's a verse in Psalms 19 and 14. And it's an encouragement to us, and it's all along the lines, except the Lord build the house. It says in Psalm 19 and 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So in other words, Lord, if the words that are coming out of my mouth and the things that are in my heart, if they're in alignment with you, they're going to affect what I do. And as long as I have your blessing and your favor on it, then you'll bless it. Except the Lord build the house. That last verse in the third verse in Psalm 127, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Just thinking about that, the blessings. Children are blessings. I know sometimes it may not seem like that, but children are blessings of the Lord. It's responsibility that God has bestowed upon us, and we're to treat it that way. Because we're establishing something for them. We're setting an example before them. Let God guide and direct. Let the Lord build your house. I'm endeavoring to, just like David gave the instruction to Solomon. That's what we do to our children. The same. We're trying to instill. It's a blessing. It's a gift that God gives. And we endeavor by, again, depending on him. Yeah. Help me, Lord. Because all of our children are different, aren't they? We can't treat them all the same way, can we? They're all different. So we need wisdom from God. Help me, Lord, as I endeavor to instill things within them. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me understanding so I know how to do it. Except the Lord build the house. I'm reminded of this as we consider the promises that God has given us and our dependency on Him. There's something special about that. Just recognizing, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm dependent on you. Lord, I can't do anything without you. There's another verse of song that we sing. And this verse goes like this. It says, has a mortal yet been found? Has a mortal yet been found who has trusted him in vain? It says, the writer said, search the whole broad space of earth around and search it once again. And the point of that is, you're not going to find anyone. You're not going to find anyone that didn't allow, if they allowed God to build the house, if they followed all the instruction that He had given them, you're not going to find a single one that have trusted Him in vain. We can stand on God's word forever. It does not change. And there's a scripture that lets us know that it doesn't change. 1 Peter. The first chapter and the 23rd and the 25th verse. We're going to finish this thought this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25.
Being born again,
not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass gonna wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
And this is the word
which by the gospel is preached unto you. It was emphasized and it was emphasized again. The word of God gonna stand forever. We can hold on to it and it's not gonna change. So we can be encouraged this morning, except the Lord build the house. Let Him build it. Lord, my prayer for each and every one of us, myself first, is Lord, help me to be reminded of this on a daily basis. In everything that I involve myself in everything that I do, that I would keep that in the forefront of my mind, except the Lord build the house, then the labor is in vain. I desire your prayer that I would be found in that place, that I would allow the Lord to build the house. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.